Welcome to HBF. It is good to see you and good singing and good time to praise the Lord. That ministered to me. And that last song, you know, is a good song and a good thing to meditate upon. If you have your Bible, we turn to the book of Ephesians. We're going to be going to start in Ephesians 4. And thank you for being here this morning. And if you are a guest with us and you don't have a Bible, in the seat rack in front of you somewhere should be a whole Bible that we put together here. You can open that to page 903, and you will be right where we are this morning. And you can take that with you. That's our gift to you. So I'm going to really continue. It's been about 3 weeks now just discussing vision. We talked about how our need to rest, remembering some principles concerning our need to rest and depend upon the Lord, relying entirely upon scriptural truth. And if we don't start there, we really aren't going anywhere. And we then spent some time last week talking about four factors to really evaluate and or correct our vision. We talked about the need to diagnose a disobedient vision, a disconnected vision, and then not to be discouraged as we develop vision, as Samuel did, and he was doing God's will and wasn't quite clear exactly what God wanted, but yet he continued to follow the Lord obediently, and God made it clear and brought to him and to the nation of Israel what they needed. And then, of course, it's important that we depend upon the Word of God for dynamic vision. And we ended up last week talking about how David was able to really hone in on God's will and then see it accomplished. And within his lifetime, the nation of Israel was freed from the enemies. And his son Solomon was in a position then to glorify God all over the earth, as all the kings of the earth at that time did come in his son Solomon's time to understand and learn about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the mission was on. And, you know, in my heart of hearts, that's really my prayer for our HBF, is that we truly are a light that shines in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. In the last 14 years, I've never had a vision for HBF. You're like, what? No, I don't. But God has one. So I just use his vision. And his vision is very clear, especially to me. You know, it's really simple and it's easy to understand, but it's not always easy to really grasp hold of. Even the things as simple as that song, you know, we just sang, and where it tries your heart and calls you to say, really, do I really want you? Because sometimes I want my flesh. Right? And so we have to decide in our heart, are we going to go with God or are we going to go with our flesh? And in this last days, it's important that we focus on things above, not on the things of this world. And it's important that we have our lenses corrected. And now that we do, and we've covered all of those things, I just want to take some time today and just share with you three things that we can use to evaluate if we're accomplishing God's mission and vision for this local New Testament church. And we can measure that as we go forward. And so, as I obviously do have vision, I have understanding, and I think where God wants us to go. But today, I don't want to get into all the details and get lost in the weeds of the details describing all the important activities coming at HBF. We have important activities every year, and we have strategic activities. We don't do anything around here that doesn't support the mission of God. And so, and the mission of this church, and the goals of this church. So you can just count on that right now. So the first thing you got to do is know the mission and the goals of the church, which reflect what we're going to see in the Word of God this morning, so that we can accomplish that which God has saved us to accomplish. And so we all have a lot of exciting initiatives, and we're still going to do exciting things this year. But today, instead of looking at that, I want to look a little more broadly on the issue of our heart. Because as we talk about looking on the field, as I look on the field, I really don't look at, you know, geography, even though I enjoy looking at some of those things. I don't look at just, you know, geopolitical issues and nations and borders, and not even just people groups. At the end of the day, one thing you find out the further you go in ministry is that people are people, and we all need Jesus, no matter where you are from and where you are at. And no matter what language you speak or what your culture is. And what's incredible is when Jesus Christ is home in the heart of someone, regardless of where they are, there's a natural affinity, a supernatural affinity, I should say, that just draws our hearts together. And so when I look on the field, I look on a field of souls. And among those souls, I see many that aren't even saved. As we just look around our city, as we look around our county, as we look around the metropolitan areas, we look around the country. And then as we go across the you know, borders and we go to other locations around the earth, we see it's even much more of a blight than what, anything we've got going on here in the United States. And it really causes us to want to be diligent to not only look at the field, but to pray for the field. That we look at it and we pray for it, and we even pray about entering it. And so HBF, that's what we're all about. And we don't know when the Lord's going to return. And so we plan like he's going to not be here for several more generations. But in our heart, I expect the Lord's return any day, any moment, before I get done today. And one of the things that I've done the last year to help stay focused is place more emphasis on the things that we're really trusted with. The simple things, baptism, the Lord's Supper. So we've really squared off a spot on the Lord's Supper. We take a whole day, we take a whole morning to get ready for the Lord's Supper so that when we get here on Sunday night, we're focused on being right with God. So what? We can reach the world. It's about preparing our hearts as a body so we're right with each other, so that we can be right with the Lord, so that we can be right with taking the gospel to the world. It's such a mission critical situation. That's why we focus on that every time we have a fifth Sunday. And so the other thing, of course, is the mysteries. And I'm not going to get into that this morning. I touched on them several weeks ago. But we have those the mysteries of God, the things that he's revealed to us as a local New Testament church, the seven New Testament mysteries that we are responsible to steward. We need and we must have pure doctrine. And so those are things that are important to this church. A little over 15 years ago, almost 16, I was fasting and praying and asking God to quantify my call at that time and the call of our little group of people that were meeting for Bible study in a simple way that could be communicated continually and faithfully until Jesus returns. And it was at that time that the vision of Philippians 2 was so clear to me, and I'm not going to read that right now, but it basically helped me understand, you know, what we need to be doing until Jesus gets here. And then he gave me a more defined set of goals that we can find in Ephesians chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to look in Ephesians 4 and just read with me 11 through 16. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. The Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. For whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for this incredible Bible that you've given us, this word, the vision that we have is in our face, Lord. It is the word of God. And Lord, we thank you for giving us the Spirit of God to teach us all things whatsoever you have said to us. Lord, we thank you for giving this church a clear understanding of who we're to be and what we're to be doing until you come, Lord. And now I pray, most importantly, for your grace, Lord, to work out in us our salvation, Lord, that we would be who it is you've set us apart to be, who you've saved us to be by the blood of Jesus, that, Lord, you would empower us in a mighty way, that we would be full of power, love, and a sound mind as we love you, as we love one another, and as we go forth loving the world because you love them first, sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, making churches and building people in this faith so that they can accomplish that which God has saved them to accomplish. Lord, we pray, God, your will would be done in this church, in this place. And Lord, today you would encourage our hearts to look upon the field, look upon our own heart, and to look on the things that you've called us to be and do. For your name's sake, we ask this. Amen. So as we look at this passage, and we notice some things here. In verse 11, at the end of the passage there, he calls out the officers, and then he says in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying. And that word edifying means building. The building of the body of Christ. How long are we going to do this? Well, it's clear, till we all come into the unity of the faith. Now, some of us we check out early. We get to go home early. We run our race. We finish our course, and we were absent from the body, present with the Lord. Others of us, we have to keep running until Jesus shows up. But either way, there's a coming a day when we're all going to be gathered together in the sky, and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We don't measure ourselves by ourselves. We measure ourselves by Christ. He is the standard. He is the perfect standard. And so there's an issue here of growth from here on out, henceforth, right? Be no more children. Don't be little kids, right? Don't be like you can be tossed around like a rag doll and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. But get your loins of your mind girded up and understand that there are people that lie in wait to deceive. We shouldn't be deceived. We shouldn't be beguiled. We should know the Word of God. We should mature in God's Word, and we should go forth. And the way that we do that is speaking the truth in love, growing up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. You see, everybody in the body of Christ has an important role. We don't always know what that is, but that's what maturation's about. As we grow, we learn our spot in the body, how we're joined together and compacted. Every joint, everyone is fitly joined and fitly framed in the body of Christ if they're born again. And so what do? Ultimately, we increase the body under the edifying. There's that word edifying again, of itself in love. So we're building the body. We're all bodybuilders this morning. What are we going to do in 2016? We're going to build the body. We're going to be bodybuilders. And so there's a lot in that passage. But if you take that along with the express will of God to make disciples of all nations, and that's birthed in our mission statement, it's pretty clear what we're to do. And that is, we exist to accomplish the mission of God and the power of God for the glory of God. That's what we do. We equip the saints of God and the Word of God to accomplish the mission of God and the power of God for the glory of God. And I bet many of you know that. How many of you already know that? Because I say it almost every week. A lot of you knew. That's good. That's our mission statement. Now, the mission statement is a reflection of the mission. I didn't even know what to do. So I'm like, well, God, I can't create a mission for your church since you've already created one. I just don't feel up to the task. So I'm going to steal your mission, and our mission is to just do what you tell us to do, right? Now, that's a good mission statement. We're going to equip the saints of God. That's our job, to build everyone up so that they can accomplish that which God has saved them to accomplish, that which is God's mission, to go, therefore, teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We do that supernaturally, simultaneously, and strategically, just like they did in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And we do that in the power of God, because we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. Most of you guys probably understand that and know that and have heard that and are like, okay, Brian, I want something new. But the reality is, there's really nothing new. That is the mission. That is the vision. And that's the big vision. And sometimes I live in the big vision, and you want more specifics, and we've got a lot of specifics, but sometimes we can get bogged down with those things. Because this mission's on a time clock. Regardless of when we die, or if we wait till the Lord's return to be caught up together in the air, we should all be about the business of disciple-making. And we, as a body, we are building both within and without. So we must be building churches, edifying as we're building believers. And this is obviously the church most of us are concerned about, because this is the one that we're invested in. But our vision is bigger than that, because we're not selfish and self-centered. God wants us to be part of a vision that actually plants churches, that supports local churches, and we're networked with other churches. Why? Because God really wants us to be part of a bigger vision, which we've had from our beginning, to equip, to send, to see God's mission accomplished locally, right, and globally, and everywhere in between. And so so it's important that we celebrate God's vision and what He's done. And you often hear me reflect on the past, because God has done a lot just to deliver us to this day. He really has. But we can't live there, right? We can't live on the past victory. Why? Because God's mission is not accomplished yet, and He wants us to grow forward in His grace. And so the first 14 years of HBF, I felt that one of the most important things we had to do was develop infrastructure at every level to make disciples. And you guys are probably almost all familiar with what that is here at HBF. The manifestation of that is, of course, our discipleship ministry, starting with D1 and then D2 and then HBI. And so from developing of D1 and D2 materials to the establishment of HBI, which we're like in our sixth year now, God has given us an infrastructure And man, has he blessed us with leadership in this church to be able to really train people to accomplish God's mission. It's incredible. So that it, by God's grace, you know, churches and communities and countries will be changed through the propagation of the gospel, the establishment of local New Testament churches, according to God's will. It's that simple. It's not really complicated. It's just hard to do. It's really difficult to do. It's hard to believe even sometimes. Because you're like, well, I'm just coming to church, Brian. What are you talking about? You just think you're coming to church. See, that's not the way Heartland operates. We don't just come to church around here. We get involved in the mission of God. We are the church. And so when we come here, we gather, you know, the pop phrase now is you gather to scatter, right? And we do. We gather together so we can go. This is kind of somewhat of a pep rally on Sundays. It is a time to get us focused so that we can actually get the job done. The job gets done when we leave here, and it also gets done when we come here. But typically, we're here to get encouraged, to get trained, to get taught. And so for the past 14 years, the measure of my faithfulness as a pastor has really been found in the three goals of HBF. Can anybody just shout those out? What are the three goals? Anybody know? They're really simple, other than Julie and Randy. Oh, come on now. I'm going to cry. Yay, thank you. Praise the Lord. Edify, exercise, and engage. That's the three goals. It's simple. It's not hard. It's simple. But as I look at that, in some respects, as a pastor, I've had to drive obedience to the mission. I feel like I've driven things forward on purpose, because when you're planting, what do? You get behind a plow. You know, literally you drive a train of mules in the old days and you go forward and you got pressure on the plow and you're pulling that. And you know what? You're driving ahead. You're breaking ground. When you're breaking ground, man, you're driving things forward. You have to. You have to push to get things off the ground. You guys know what I'm talking about? You start a business, you start anything. You got to push to get started. You got to get some momentum, some inertia. That's good. But beloved, we're established. I've actually modified. Our mission statement was to establish a local church that equips the saints of God and the word of God to accomplish the mission of God and the power of God. For several years now, I've taken off the two. Why? Because we are established. The roots are growing down deep in the word of God. It's even possible that you have more knowledge if you've gone through our discipleship process than many pastors in the pulpits. And I'm not saying that to brag, but it's a fact that many pastors and pulpits in our communities and in our country and certainly around the world. So to whom much is given, much is required. And so as I look forward, though, I see that we have been established, and breaking soil is not the same as watering the crop. And so it's important. And this kind of came to me this last year, the year before this one, about this time last year, somewhere between January to springtime. I was looking back at my notes. Somewhere between this time and April, God said, Brian, you know what you're supposed to do. You know our three goals really reflect my responsibilities out of Ephesians 4 that we just read? Edify, right? I equip the saints that got to build the body. Exercise, we do ministry together, so that we can actually apply what it is that we know, so that the Spirit of God can, we can learn really what our supernatural, or what the spiritual gifts in our life are through exercising and ministry. And then as you mature and grow, right, you start to realize your spot in the body of Christ, and you start to really engage fully in who it is that God saved you to be, so you can really do that which God has saved you to do, and that is build the body of Christ in whatever particular way he's called you. Not everybody's a pastor, not everybody's a teacher, not everybody's a lawnmower, but we all have a spot that builds the body. That's kind of a top-down vision. Why? Because that's the one I carry. That's the burden I bear. That's my responsibility. At the judgment seat of Christ, that's what I'm going to give account for. And so God started talking to me about this. He says, Brian, how's it look to the church? I mean, what's it look like to y'all? You know, I look at this thing and I ask myself, have I been edifying the church? Is discipleship and ministry structure established at HBF? Are people and individuals growing corporately? Are we growing? Is the kingdom being built? Because people and the saints of God are being built? Are the saints equipped to exercise a ministry? Are folks discovering their place in Christ and in the body? Are the saints being engaged in the mission of God by the power of God? Our lives, our families, our ministries growing, our churches being planted, our missionaries being sent. Those are the questions that I look at and I say, God, am I a faithful steward? Am I carrying the ball? Or have I fumbled it like that dude that played for the Bengals last night? You know? And I'm like, man, what is it, you know, God, that I need to do to make sure I do what I'm supposed to do? And there's a lot of things I'm probably not doing and I should do differently, but I'm just by God's grace, I'm trying to get things done. And one of the big things is establishing that infrastructure. It's established. Now I'm like, okay, God, what's that look like to everybody else? And so as I was praying about this coming year and the years to come, God placed these goals on my heart. I'm like, well, if I measure myself by these things, right, and just kind of to see how I'm doing, well, how's that look to y'all? And so I thought I'd turn them inside out for you, because I think that it's better not to look at them from my vantage point, so to speak, but from our vantage point, all of our vantage points, because it's very practical. It's something we can get our head around this morning. What is it? What is it that we should be, what should we really be doing as a church as we talk about vision, not just this year, but really indefinitely, to make sure that we accomplish the mission of God? What do the goals of HBF look like as we're accomplishing the mission of God? If we're going to look on the field, we not only need to look at what we see, but what we hope to see by God's grace. And that's actually faith. That's seeing what, that's believing God for what you can't see. So really what we need to examine is the fruit in our lives. As a member of the body, we can simply simplify the fruit of our focus on God's mission for us in his church and the kingdom of God by three things. Our focus on learning, and that's what it looks like. I can talk all day about edifying the church, building the church, but what's that really mean to y'all? Well, for all intents and purposes, that means we're learning. We're learning what it is that God wants us to know. And then we're living. That's what it means to exercise. What's it mean to exercise, Brian? That's kind of a weird kind of thing to think about. Well, that's not for me, but maybe for y'all. So exercise means just to live out what God has shown us. And then the last thing that we need to do is make sure we love. Because love is ultimately what it's all about. We got to be learning, living, and loving. So when you go to the eye doctor, you look at the eye chart. And I pray again this week that the eye chart, the Word of God, helps us see clearly what we're to do. Now, you guys know, this is the vision, this for this last year. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, when Jesus said that to the disciples, he starts in verse 25 by saying, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. You see, Jesus was revealing his incredible plan and mission to a bunch of disciples, to a bunch of fishermen, to a bunch of common people. And the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they couldn't see it. Herod couldn't see it. They didn't understand the principalities and powers. They weren't in on these things. But God says, I'm glad you revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father but the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Then he says, an invitation, a great invitation. Come unto me, some of you that are laboring and heavy laden. No, all. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and, what's it say? Learn. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So when we talk about learning, learning of Jesus should be the real heart and the desire, the first priority of every young Christian. And practically, as we look at the numbers here at HBF, there's at least 140 disciples available right now at HBF to make disciples. People who are trained and qualified, have been through our training and discipled, and are able to disciple someone. And I'm actually being conservative. I think there's more than that. And that equates to about 60% of the adults who actively attend HBF. So that means over 50% of you are not only able to have rest, but able to offer rest to those that have a weary soul. You're able to sit down with the Word of God and take somebody and just teach them the basic milk of God's Word, the basic doctrine that God has entrusted to us as individuals and as a local new church. You're able to walk with someone who's a new Christian so that they can do this, learn of Jesus. If you're doing that, let me tell you what you're doing. You are doing the first thing that we're charged to do. We're edifying the body of Christ. We're building the body. Learning of Jesus. It's so important. Now, that number, there's 25% of the adults attending HBF are actively being discipled right now. I think that also may include teenagers, but there's 25% of the people that are hanging out around here are in that process of discipleship. Did you all know that? 25%. That's a pretty good number. So that means one out of every four of y'all listening to me, right, are in a process of our basic understanding of the foundation, the fundamentals of the Word of God. We're trying to give you handles on this book. And so that's incredible. You guys should be excited about that because that's really doing what God's calling us to do. But what does that mean? Well, it's kind of hard to measure discipleship because, well, it's not just a church growth tool. It's not really a program at all. It's a supernatural growth process. It is God's prescription for how the church gets built. And so when you see the extra seats in the auditorium right now, they will be filled up if you continue to disciple 25% of the people that come into this building. 25% of the people get discipled, and then they grow, and they learn the Word of God, and they end up discipling someone else. As people go, we're going to continue to grow. It's just a law of math. It's very basic. It's very simple. But it's not about growing numbers alone, although that happens. It's about growing deeper. Discipleship's more than a Bible study. It's imparting of life. It's imparting of the life of Christ into the life of another soul. Often the process is truncated because some folks simply don't desire to follow Jesus. Right? The truck, like Matt was singing about, the lotto, whatever, gets in the way. And they don't want to finish. And that's okay because at HBF, this is what we do. We give everybody every opportunity to succeed. We're not mad at you. And when you're ready to follow Jesus, that's where we're going. We're following him. You can come and get on the bus again. But you know what? We're not slowing down. We got to go forward with Jesus. And so too many mistake discipleship, though, for going through discipleship one. At HBF, it's common to hear someone say, "Have you been discipled?" And I even say that. "Have you been discipled?" And that means different things to different ones of us. But often what we mean is, "Have you been through those 16 lessons?" And what we're really asking, though, when we ask someone if they've been discipled in those 16 lessons, is have you completed, we're not really asking if they've completed discipleship. We really aren't. What we're asking is, have you begun to learn? Have you begun to be a disciple? Have you started discipleship? Now, we recognize as people come into this church from other churches and other places, there are already many people that go through our discipleship one process are already spiritually mature. So they go through it, in essence, as a training, as a model, as a template, and then they turn around and they're ready to go and equip someone else. So we praise God for that. But also, many of the people that go through discipleship one are like I was. Didn't know Genesis from Revelation. I didn't know the Gospels were anything other than a genre of music, right? So, I mean, all of those things, I was just like, wow, Gospel, that's actually the name of a book. Okay, those are the Gospel of John. I mean, you guys might laugh, but that's literally how ignorant I was of the Bible. And this church is here to equip people so that they can learn. Now, where are you at in that process? The measurement of a successful discipleship, one at HBF, is not knowing everything you're ever going to need to know about the Bible. It's not being fully equipped to lead ministry. The function of discipleship one is to introduce you to Jesus so you can establish your relationship with him. I don't mean just as Savior. I mean to really get to know him and know what his will is for your life so you can begin to do that which God has got in store for you. We know and understand that will to be reflected in four ways, and we have these goals at HBF. in our discipleship ministry. Number one, to establish you in the Word of God, in the foundation and the fundamental truth of Scripture concerning your salvation. Understanding the ordinances and the fundamental principles of sanctification with a glimpse of your glorification in the last lesson. That's what D1's about. To establish you in fellowship with believers, which is a different from being a member of the church. Because the church is not an institution. It's relational. It's organic. And that means you open your life up to enjoy fellowship with other believers. And the fellowship that's offered through the body of Christ. And this is very important because Christianity is designed to be relational. Regardless of your personality type, you cannot live in a Christian bubble. You say, well, Brian, you don't know me. I don't have to know you. Jesus knows you. And he knows how his church functions. He's got a place and he's got a role for you in the body of Christ. And establishing someone in the fellowship of believers is important, but also, yes, being established in the local New Testament church. This means that you not only know what the Bible says about baptism and the Lord's Supper, but you actively participate. What's that mean? You identify with the body of Christ. You say, yes, I'm in. I buy into this vision that Jesus has given. I buy into this process. And by the way, discipleship, it's not a program. It's what Jesus charged us to do. It's so powerful that if we do it right, if we do it with our whole heart, God will literally turn the world upside down. I believe that, or I wouldn't even be doing this. I'd go do something else. That is not just how convicted I am. That's what the Bible teaches. And so I'm getting fired up thinking about it. And so we establish folks in the New Testament church. This brings you into a supernatural and protective structure, the local New Testament church, and you're part of this supernatural organism. This isn't a club. Let me sign here. Let me get my dues. If that's what, you know, there are clubs, there's Christian clubs that are called churches all over the place. You can go find one. They'll take you, you know, go there. That's fine. That's not what we do here. We actually believe God's word and we're going forward with it. And then you can be established in the work of ministry. And that's a natural response to knowing God. You are a child of God, a priest, a king. But at your core, you know who we really are? We're servants. We just want to please our Father in heaven. We're sons of God. And so a heart of gratitude responds cheerfully and asks, where can I serve? Where can I help? And that doesn't mean you find your life's calling in the nursery or whatever. You don't have to do that the rest of your life. But you need to be actively saying, God, how can I contribute to this incredible process that you're doing? And that's just starting off Christianity, beloved. This isn't like getting a PhD in ministry. This is just what happens when you get saved and the Word of God starts to trickle in your mind and you start to actually believe what's written. Amen? Amen. I'm telling you, I speak the truth and I lie not. If this isn't working in your life, you need to be examining what in the world you're doing. What in the world are you doing at this church? I'm going to run everybody off because this is just the first start. This is the steps. If learning of Jesus is a natural response of someone who's born again, like 1 Peter 2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted the Lord is gracious. If that's the case, God uses discipleship to do the following things to our mind. See, he changes our minds through discipleship. He reveals his thoughts to us and reasons with us from the scriptures. Why? Because we're learning of him. He feeds our minds the things that we begin to meditate upon, the things that we begin to think upon, the things that feeds our souls and our intellect with information. And it enriches our hearts and we become more full of love and grace. And he cleanses our minds and he renews our minds. And the word is likened to water. He washes out the filth and the contaminants. Man, have you noticed how much filth and contaminants there are? I mean, I can't get through a day. I like looking at the news and stuff. I'm into that stuff. But I can't get through the day without, I'm like, man, if I wasn't lost, I would want to go crazy. I'd want to kill myself. This world seems like it's falling apart. But in reality, for us that are saved, it's like, well, no problem. Let me get back in the Word here because I already know what's coming and I'm pretty sure I'm good. No matter what comes, I'm solid. Why? Because the Word of God, it renews, it cleanses our mind. It gives us the right perspective. So we don't have to get off course. See, learning of Jesus leads us to follow Jesus. That's the bottom line. And Amy knows I like the bottom line. I say it all the time. If you turn over to John chapter 1. According to my notes, I'm on time, and that's not possible. Okay, John chapter 1. I want you to look at this text. I'm suspect. I don't believe myself. That can't possibly be true. All right. I'm going to have to move quickly here nonetheless. So hang with me. It says, again, the next day after John stood and his two disciples, and looking upon Jesus, he walked and he saith, behold the Lamb of God. You guys know the story. John the Baptist is discipling, baptizing and proclaiming the Messiah. But I want you to focus on verse 37. And the two disciples heard him speak, and this is what they did. They followed Jesus. They followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and he abode with And they abode with him that day, for it is about the 10th hour. So it's in the afternoon. And it says, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now, I won't tarry here too long, but I just want you to know that the fruit we need to see out of about 60 souls attending HBF and being discipled, if you're wondering, like, Brian, what is the thing I need to really do this year? I'm in discipleship and I want to do everything. I'm going to make this simple. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Learn of him. And when he tells you to get baptized, get baptized. When he tells you to quit doing something, then get by grace, lay it down. When he tells you to pick up something, by grace, pick it up. When he says, be at church, be at church. Just follow Jesus. Be where Jesus tells you to be. Go where Jesus tells you to go. He says, hey, I want you to go to Monmouth and join that trip. Well, get on the trip. Go. Do what it is that God's telling you to do. That's what you do. You be obedient. The first thing about learning about Jesus is he needs our obedience. He just needs us to follow him obediently. It's that simple. And so we identify with the word also. You see in this text very personally. You see, they've been seeing Jesus. They knew about Jesus. John the Baptist was famous now. He was in obscurity, and now he's over in Perea, over by the Jordan River. He's baptizing Jesus. Before he baptizes Jesus, he's this gnarly dude. He looks like, you know, the new deal. He looks like Jim. And so he's like got this big beard and he's eating some locusts and he's getting after it and he's preaching. And everybody knows about John the Baptist. He's a celebrity. And they know what he's proclaiming. Messiah's coming. And they're like, man, woo, this is an exciting time. But you know what these people are? They're preaching personalities. They know about John the Baptist. Is this Elijah? Is this, oh, the Messiah? All right. These are big time concepts. These are big time people in the Bible. These are big time prophecies being fulfilled. Woo! I like that. That's cool. It's exciting. But you see what happens here as they start to follow Jesus? Jesus turns and looks at him and says, hey, what are you doing? Isn't that kind of scary? Like you come to church and you think, oh man, the man at the holy desk, he's got to be tight with God. And the next thing you know, the Holy Spirit sneaks up behind you. You're sitting in the chair, you know, and you're sitting here watching. And the Holy Spirit sneaks up behind you and says, hey, what are you doing? Whoa! Where'd that come from? You see, God is, he's calling you. He's working it. He wants to make it personal. It isn't about what your mommy, you kids, this isn't about your mommies and your daddies going to church. He's calling you young people. He's calling you. He's calling you. All of you young kids, man, he's calling you. We need you, but he needs you and he wants you. He's calling all of us to learn of him, to follow him, and it's personal. All of a sudden, he's like, they're like, what? Where's a dude like you live if you're the Messiah? I just want to know. Can I hang with you? Sure, come on. Go check out my pad. We're going to go hang out. What? Now, beloved, what is discipleship one a lot about? Coming over to the house, busting open the word, and hanging out with Jesus. Getting to know him personally. That's what it's about. Yeah, we have structure to it, so we don't take tangents. But at the end of the day, it's about people who know Jesus, introducing people to Jesus, getting ahead of my outline. Isn't that what Andrew did? Hey, Peter, I went and hung out with the Messiah, man. This is awesome. Did you get his autograph? No, you need to come. You can actually know him personally. No, you get out of here. Oh, yeah, not just know about him, not just know what the preacher's John the Baptist says about him. You can meet this dude and you can live with him. No way. Oh, Yahweh. So you can do that. So we identify with the word relationally. See, that's what happened in verses 38 and 39. It was personal. And then it was a relationship that was established. Jesus was open to entertain and humor their questions of discipleship. He opened his home to them. And then, you know what would happen? We start to go public with this thing. It's not just personal. It's not just relational. Before you know it, we're talking about it publicly. We're like, man, you, no, you don't, you think, no, really, I know Jesus. I know you think I don't know Jesus, but I do know Jesus because I'm like, I'm spending time with him and I read the Bible and I pray and I'm learning about Jesus. Amen? Is that not your discipleship experience? That's my discipleship experience, beloved. When I went through discipleship one, I didn't know diddly about the Bible, but I knew when God spoke to me from Matthew chapter 6, it was God speaking to me, little old me, about his word. And I didn't know where it was going. I didn't know I was going to be a preacher. It wasn't about all that. It was about the Messiah, the God of the universe, met me in the Bible, and I could learn of him. And we follow him when we learn of him because we know him. It's about moving you from an observer to a server. And that's what HBF's all about. Are you an observer or a server? We've all been busy doing a lot of things. And our vision is not to be busy or to have a full calendar of activity to keep people busy. Our vision is to see souls come to life through a personal knowledge of the Savior. And this happens best when we practice what we learn in the laboratory of ministry. Ministry groups. Many churches call them small groups. I call it ministry. And people do that in groups. When you minister with others in ministry, you naturally form a small group around none other than the mission of God. And there's nothing wrong with the small group concept that many churches apply today, by the way. But I believe that small groups are best formed organically in ministry as we come together to serve. Jesus led a small group, and it turned into a large group. He took Andrew from an observer to a server, with just hanging out with him. This year, I would love to see God take some of you who are spectators and move you into a relationship with God's word. No, you heard me right. Moved you into a relationship with God's word. Not into ministry activities, but into a relationship with God's word that causes you to go beyond being an observer. Whoa, look at that. To getting in on the action of being a server. Now, I don't want you raising your hands, but I would bet some of you right now say, that's me already, right? Amen? I hope so. I know many of you are. This church is full of awesome people, and that's where you are. My vision in 2016 is not to do something new, but do a better job of what we've already been charged to do. For those of us who say, well, you know, Brian, I'm already mature. I could have preached that sermon better than you. Well, you probably could have. That's fine. My prayer for us, then, if we're mature, is that we look around the body and see how we can serve in helping people to learn. You say, well, Brian, I'm too busy to disciple someone. Well, what are you busy doing? Right? Are you busy in ministry then, doing something else? God's called you to a ministry? Well, then take the people that are serving with you and start discipling them in ministry. Making sure as you're, I love the way Randy, this is, I'm going to give Randy credit. It's in my footnotes, in my notes. No, it's not really, but this comes from Randy, but I'm going to steal it and use it. As you're focusing on the target, what do you need to be looking at? The team. Because discipleship and learning doesn't just happen across the kitchen table at your house. That's a good place to start. That's our structure. But it really overflows into everything that we do. If you're working with kids over here, if you're going out to the jail, if you're whatever it is, you're working in the kitchen, you're helping prepare meals. It's not just about what we're doing to hit the target and accomplish the goal. But you know what? Before you know it, there's a group of people following you. And I can remember when this occurred to me as a disciple. God, with all the vim and vigor, some would say something in vinegar, whatever it was, I was just preaching the gospel at the mission. I mean, I didn't think about anyone else around me. All I could see is the field. And I'm focusing on these souls. I could just, like they were going to drop out of the floor and go to hell. Whew, whew. And it was incredibly stirring in my heart to get the gospel where it needed to go. Frankly, I'm like, you know, we can go back to church and do all that discipleship stuff, but this is where the battle's at. I'm still a little bit like that. I want to be where the action's at, man. Let's get out here and get something done. But you know what? Funny thing. Not a lot of fruit from that. Out in the crowd. Some, but not a lot. But you know where the fruit ended up coming? With the team of people that I was working with. It's crazy how that works. And there's when a pastor stood up and said, hey, you have two goals. One is inner and one is outer. I'm like, well, I'm focused on the outward goal. I want to get these people saved. Let me look at inside and see who's... Well, there's Mark Heckman. There's Tom Herzog. There's Doug Pearson. There's Randy Foster. Go on down the line. A lot of my buddies. We're all serving together. Guess what? We're still serving together. Because God has called us. Because we learned of him. And we just followed him. We just followed him to the next place. I said, you know what? I need to do a better job of working with these guys. To this day, when Steve calls on me and says, Brian, I need you to teach in a training class in life issues or counseling. You know what I bring? I bring a revised version of my old counseling training manual for my old City Union Mission Ministry. But you guys don't know that. And I lay it out. Why? Because that's the same stuff that I learned. And I just give it to others. And it works. Just learning of Jesus. Now, I've got two more things to tell you, but we don't have time today. So we're going to put that on ice. And we're going to focus on this one thing for this year. And we got to evaluate, where are we at? Are we learning? Are we serving? Maybe you're just observing. It's okay to observe. But I have a sneaky suspicion, if you're observing, that God is calling you. He's calling you to learn of him. He's calling you into a deeper knowledge of him. He's not calling you to run off and be a missionary necessarily or any of that. Don't worry about that. God, if he calls you to it, he'll get you through it. He'll get you there. Don't worry. Just take the next step and follow Jesus. Hang with him. And if you say, man, Brian, that's what I do, man. I am the man or the woman. Well, good. Then make sure as you go forward that your mission is to take observers and encourage them, build them up into servers for God's glory and his grace. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this one three.